Greetings, 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 and salutations, one and all. Welcome to the night shift to DJ Kevin Steele. It's Healthy Love Night. And according to Five Star Akil, we're going to find our way and get on. Track called Find Your Way, kicking things off tonight.
Everybody advise, bring your rama, bring the ice. Cause we said,
wanna say a big hello to everyone locked in. Bring my those on TuneIn Radio on the night shift with DJ Kevin Steele. Big ups to you.
Please excuse me for my ways. This thing is a problem.
Those locked in from across the pond on One Harmony Radio. Top of the morning to you guys over there in the UK. Blessings to the massive up there in New Jersey. Those locked in on NIE Radio with the motivator. Big ups to those who are locked in on mix102.com. And by association, those locked in out of Jamaica on Earth 96 FM. Much love to you guys. Truly appreciate love the support. Symbol. Big up yourself, sir. I want to say big up to those who are locked in on the Foundation Radio Network, ClintonLindsay.com.
So we party in every night, yeah.
Mr. Lindsay is the real veteran in the business.
That don't mean we going inside. You can see it all in my eyes. This thing is a problem.
Much love to the massive up there in New York. Those locked in on Island Worldwide, exhibiting the power of music.
Don't care how I look.
China Nicole. Gary, the Jump Out production crew, much love to you guys. Those locked in on Reggae Pulse Radio in Long Island, New York. Blessings and much love. DJ Atomic Force on the crew. Wanna say big ups to the family bubbling in the stew pot. Those on Zeno FM. And those on Clubhouse. I want to say big up to those who are locked in on YouTube Live. And of course, those right here at the home of the night shift to DJ Kevin Steele. KevinSteele.com, where you're encouraged to have acceptance through enlightenment.
This thing is a problem.
So glad to have you. Couldn't do it without you. And you have my word, I wouldn't even try. I want to say thank you to my segment sponsors. Pulse Media Group, and being in a moment is priceless. Go ahead and give them a call. Their number is 754-999-1140. If you're looking for somewhere to host your website, they can take care of that too. They host mine. But if you're looking for somewhere to stream your video, well, actually, to stream your event by video. So you have your camera, you have your computer, and you want a secure platform on which you're going to do your streaming. Whether it is yours or theirs, there's a way that they can give you what you need. Call them up, 754-999-1140. For that church service, funeral, wedding, party, graduation, seminar, you name it. Talk to them. They can hook you up. Say thank you to Althea and her healing heavenly hands. Althea SU is a licensed massage therapist operating out of Broad County, North Miami Dade and South Palm Beach counties. She comes to you bringing her table, her oils, and over 20 years massage therapy experience. Give her a call today, schedule your appointment, 954-655-9000. she only has one request outside of paying her. That's that you get off her table and go sleep somewhere else when she's done. And if you're anything like me, you're guaranteed to fall asleep. I want to say thank you to the Global Bass. Yeah, how I look, cause I don't hope. They try to stop me from planting, but I go be there anyway. They try to stop me from drinking, I come by the party. The Global Bass navigates your journey across music, marketing, and more. It's a realm where social spheres awaken through our mastery. That's what they say. Go ahead, embrace the invitation to liberate your creativity unbounded and free. Because they're your catalyst for everything related to music, marketing, event planning, and social media. Go ahead and check them out today. TheGlobalBass.com. Contact them for a free consultation. And tell them Kevin Stew sent you. I want to say thank you to McNeil Trucking. McNeil Trucking is a veteran-owned, licensed and insured mover in the state of Florida. So if you live in the Keys and you want to move up to Jacksonville, over in Naples and you want to move to Palm Beach, in Pompano and you want to move to Pensacola, and any point in between, you want to put some things in storage, you don't have the manpower, you don't have the transportation, don't worry about it. You have the name, you have the number. McNeil Trucking. 954-406-9740. Give him a call. Tell him you heard about him on the night shift to DJ Kevin Stew. Five Star Keel says he got no behavior. By any means necessary, he's gonna find a way. Track called Find Your Way. And you ever wonder how it is that new life comes into this world not knowing how they're gonna do it, not knowing which way to go, but end up going there all the time? Because over and over and over again, people get pregnant and have children. And somehow these babies just know which way out is. And tonight we're not talking about how babies find their way out. We're not talking about how they find their way in. We're talking about something else. We're talking about the placenta. Sounds just random and odd, doesn't it? Typically, when people talk about pregnancy, they talk about the whole process of the pregnancy. But there are some things that get forgotten or left out. And the placenta just happens to be one of those things. So, let me go ahead and make sure that y'all know the phone number. The line is open, so you can call at any time. We can jump right into discussions if you wish to share your ideas with regards to the placenta, things that you've done, things that you've heard. 773-789-STEW is the number that gets you in touch. 773-789-7839. Once more, it's scrolling across the bottom of your screen for those of you that are watching. 773-789-7839. Those that are listening, well, easy way to remember it, 773-789-STEW, right? It's right there. See it? Cool. All right, so we're talking the placenta. Now, your baby will develop inside your uterus, ladies, with the help of a fetal life support system that is composed of the umbilical cord, the amniotic sac, which is filled with amniotic fluid, and the placenta. Now, when you think placenta, according to AmericanPregnancy.org, you don't really think about what it does. But American Pregnancy says, the placenta has been described as a pancake-shaped organ that attaches to the inside of the uterus and is connected to the fetus by the umbilical cord. The placenta produces pregnancy-related hormones, including chorionic gonadotropin, or HCG. I'm not too sure how to get HCG out of that. But anyway, that's what it is. Estrogen and progesterone. The placenta is responsible for working as a trading post between the mother's and the baby's blood supply. So it's where the transfer happens. Small blood vessels carrying the fetal blood run through the placenta, which is full of maternal blood. Nutrients and oxygen from the mother's blood are transferred to the fetal blood. Now, while this is happening, you have waste products that are transferred from the fetal blood to the maternal blood, without the two blood supplies actually mixing. Now, if there's anything that is really amazing, it is that within itself. You have basically good blood and bad blood passing by each other in this little space and not mixing. Crazy. The placenta is expelled from the uterus in a process called the afterbirth. One possible problem in pregnancy is placenta previa. And this is where the placenta is attached near or over the cervix. As the fetus grows, pressure on the placenta can cause bleeding. This condition requires medical management to ensure safe labor and delivery for your baby. Now, the umbilical cord. Since we mentioned the three things, let's go ahead and touch on a little bit about the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord is the lifeline, literally, the lifeline that attaches the placenta to the fetus. The umbilical cord is made up of three blood vessels, two smaller arteries which carry blood to the placenta, and a larger vein which returns blood to the fetus. It can grow to be 60 centimeters long, allowing the baby enough cord to safely move around without causing damage to the cord or to the placenta. After the baby is born, the cord is cut, something the father may wish to do. Well, if they're lucky, they'll get the opportunity. The remaining section will heal from the baby's belly button. During pregnancy, you may find out the umbilical cord is in a knot or is wrapped around a part of the baby. This is common, cannot be prevented if you're trying to. You just can't prevent it. And it usually does not pose any threats to the baby. Every now and then, your baby may get a little bit frisky and end up getting tied up in the umbilical cord. But all in all, it should be good. After your baby is born, stem cells from the cord blood and tissue can be collected and saved for potential future use. This process is known as banking. Now, I'll say this. If you check in the archives, you we'll see where I did a broadcast talking about pregnancy and getting pregnant. And you'll hear the mention of the umbilical cord not being cut immediately after birth because of the very reason that was just mentioned. With the stem cells. Because there are stem cells and nutrients that are still passing through the umbilical cord at birth. And the afterbirth is such an amazing thing. Well, the placenta, which is the process which the body dispels, the placenta is afterbirth. And it still pumps a little bit after birth. And I think that's pretty cool. But if it contains stem cells and nutrients and it is cut too early, isn't the child being deprived of some much needed stem cells and nutrients? So what had happened in that broadcast was the suggestion for new mothers to say, hey, hold up, don't cut that umbilical cord just yet. Give it a few minutes so my baby can get the nutrients. And when I heard that, my mind was blown. But here is supporting evidence for that. Now, the amniotic sac is filled with amniotic fluid. And this sac is pretty much your baby's home. It is their gym. It is their little protective cocoon. It's their protection from outside knocks, bumps, and other external pressures. The amniotic sac allows the fetus ample room to swim and move around, which helps build muscle tone. So these little lives are inside another life and just swimming around. Funny, these lives come onto this side of the world and some can't swim. Even when they get to the point of having their own little lives, they can't swim. But that's what they've been doing from before they came out. Crazy, right? But I digress. So to keep the baby cozy, the amniotic sac and fluid maintain a slightly higher temperature than the mother's body, which is usually somewhere around 99.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Which, when you think about it, it's kind of hot. So why is it that we always want to be cool when what we know is being hot? After week 10, there are around 30 milliliters of fluid that's present. The amniotic fluid will reach a peak around 34 to 36 weeks at about 1 liter. So from 30 milliliters, it'll get to 1 liter. When your water breaks, it is this sac that ruptures and this fluid that leaves the body. And your baby's life is still being supported by the umbilical cord. And you should, at this point, be meeting your baby pretty soon. The question might be asked when it comes to multiple births. Are the placenta, umbilical cord, and amniotic sac different when you have multiple births? Well, identical twins typically share the same placenta. Usually, they have separate amniotic sacs and always have their own umbilical cords. Non-identical twins or fraternal twins have separate placentas, separate amniotic sacs, and their own umbilical cords. So the difference between the identicals and the fraternals is the placenta. That one source of nutrient. Who'd have thunk it? Anyway, so that's just the basic overview of the placenta. We're going to get into a little bit more. Because, and not so much in the realm of how it works, how it builds. Because how the placenta forms is pretty interesting in and of itself. Because if you think about it, was the placenta there all along? Or did it show up when the baby did? So which came first, the placenta or the babe? And the answer to that question is actually, and I found this out recently, the answer to that question is that they actually show up at around about the same time. As the baby develops, so does the placenta around the baby. I mean, with the baby. The amniotic sac develops around the baby from the same cells that met to create the baby. And as looking at how all this happens, as getting the explanation of how all this happens, and I thought to myself, self, this baby-making thing is more amazing than we actually realize. And the complexity of it is mind-blowing. But we don't really stop and think about that now, do we? So I decided to take us on a little bit of a different type of a journey tonight in Healthy Love as we address the placenta. Now, different cultures all over the world operate differently when it comes to the placenta. One question that I'm sure has come to probably five people's minds is, who owns a human placenta? And I'm going to let you think about that just for a minute. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to look into that for a little bit. Who owns a human placenta? Before we go off on a break, officially, I want to remind you of a few things. One of them being the 780-390 challenge. Now, if you don't know what that is, it is, if you started with me at the beginning of the year, you'd be around about getting ready to wrap up in about a month, well, 2 months. So the 780-390 challenge is where you save in $10 increments each month, starting with $10 in January, $20 in February, $30 in March. You get the picture, right? So this month, October, would be your $100 month. So you'd have put away $100 this month, with $110 to go next month and $120 in December. And at the end of the year, if you had started in January, you should have $780 set aside, whether to pay off some bills at the end of the year or to start your investment for the new year. Any which way, you should have some money set aside. If you were saving in $5 increments, then this would be your $50 month. And November would be your $55 and December your $60, which would then make it $390 at the end of the year. Now, if you didn't start at the beginning of the year, if you didn't start at all and you're looking to start now, you can, because every day is the beginning of a new year, right? Every year, every day is a year after this day last year. So you can still do so and benefit from that. I want to remind you to also get your copy of the audiobook, Empowered: Essential Concepts and Strategies Every Woman Should Know About Self-Defense. Now, don't let the title fool you. It's not just for women. So it is authored by Jonathan Field. It's available on Audible. The paperback is available from Amazon. You can go ahead and order the paperback, or you can go to Audible and get the audiobook narrated by yours truly, Kevin Stew. And if you don't know how to find it, if you're having difficulty finding it on Audible, just go to kevinstew.com. There's a picture of the book cover right there on the website. Click on it, and it takes you to exactly where you need to be to download your audiobook, Empowered. Essential concepts and strategies every woman should know about self-defense. And one more thing. For those who have been following Reason with Ratigan, or Wayne Lonesome's broadcast, or Waterhouse Vibes, you'd have heard of the One Jamaica Legal Defense Foundation. Now, it is an organization started by Will Ratigan and colleagues to address some of the issues that people may face when dealing with the government of Jamaica. And so the One Jamaica Legal Defense Foundation was formed. They go to bat for you legally. They have a Citibank account with which you can donate. It is a donor-funded organization. It's a 501c3. So you make donations, and that helps to file suits, request documents, deal with court, any court-related expenses. That's how those get taken care of. The attorneys that are working for the organization, they don't take a salary. Everything goes into the business relating to the One Jamaica Legal Defense Foundation. You can check them out at ojldf.org, and you can email them at onejamlegdef@proton.me. The bank account, Citibank 9111-399-836. If you want to Zelle them some money, you can do so. Zelle them a donation, whatever works for you. Anywhere from $1 to $1,000. It's up to you. Go ahead and make some donations today to bring forth some exposure, some answers. You know, let the transparency be transparent, because things have been pretty cloudy with some of the information coming out of Jamaica and what politicians have been doing. So 9111-399-836 is the account number. The routing number is 254-070116. Just go to ojldf.org. You can find all the information about the One Jamaica Legal Defense Foundation right there. All right, cool.
Is your church, business, or private event at risk of being left behind? Then let Pulse eMedia Group be your one-stop shop to capture your vision and mission for your business, or showcase your church through live streaming. Celebrate your memories through photos and videos for your wedding, youth concerts, women's ministries, and men's outreach programs in action. We will even help you develop specialized ads to enhance and expand your opportunities to reach new clients and new seekers to better serve your community. At Pulse eMedia Group, it's not either or. Call us at 754-999-1140. Pulse eMedia Group.
Come on, smile.
Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy.
Or maybe he's teething.
Maybe it's just a phase.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It's Christina representing for DJ Kevin. You see me, I say, I don't know the boss. You see me, I say, DJ Kevin's Chew on the Night Shift Radio Show. Yo, it at the thing, turn up the thing loud. Well, DJ Kevin's true at the heart of a champion. Never underestimate, just choose him. The silver line behind the dark clouds. DJ Kevin's true, believe him, and that's no doubt. Salute the night shift with the show, Christine, it's a hot top. Love it.
New music from Jedan. The track is called Pain.
You take a piece of me.
A song written with the transition of his daughter, in the memory of his daughter. She only stuck around 17 months. And he put what he was feeling into song. The track is called Pain. It's available everywhere right about now. His name is Jadon. Thank you, Jadon, for that. So, welcome back to Healthy Love right here on the Night Shift to DJ Kevin 2. Tonight we're talking about the placenta. And we asked a question before we went off on the break. Who owns the placenta? Now, an article was written on improbable.com a few years ago. And I thought it was really interesting that something like this would have had to have gone to court. You might think in the eyes of the law that you own your body and all its constituent parts. But apparently, that is not the case everywhere. And most women would be stunned to discover that the law does not consider a piece of their body to be their property. So that's when the body part under consideration is, let's say, a placenta. Mm-hmm. Now, this perplexing situation is examined in detail in a paper by Amber Godin of the Concordia University Law School in Idaho, USA, who points out in an article for Concordia Law Review that through the ages, the placenta has been used for many cultural practices, including placentophagy, which we'll get into a little bit later on. Now, with an interest in the medicinal benefits of placentophagy, there is a renewed interest in the practice, which has increased the requests for the placenta after birth. This has increased an inconsistency in hospital procedures, either requiring women to obtain court orders to receive their placentas or forcing a physician to choose to bypass hospital regulations and give it directly to the patient. Who would have thunk it? Here it is. This part of you that you have to go through the courts to request. Or some doctor has to seek alternate measures in order to give it to you. You'd have thought, well, it's yours, so you can take it. No. There are currently, well, at the time, this was, what, 2018? So there were only 3 states where the situation has been properly clarified. The remaining states, well, the position is undefined. Texas, Oregon, and Hawaii had already recognized a woman's interest in her placenta. Each state has created statutory requirements which once met, allow a woman to take her placenta home. I thought the only requirement would be the placenta came out to you. Now, while these states agree that a woman should have access to her placenta, statutes vary between states. Now, if you thought that there are some laws that are on some books that are crazy, well, believe me when I tell you, And I was supposed to do a broadcast on that. I was supposed to get together with a couple of my attorney friends and do a whole broadcast on some laws that are on the books that are really ridiculous. And I don't know, we'll probably find this as one of them. But this particular article in improbable.com talks about the current legal situation in the US. Now, in other countries, the applicable laws might vary. And if you have any documented information, you know, they wouldn't mind you sharing it. I wouldn't mind you sharing it either. Because I think that is really interesting that any such thing could happen anywhere. It's almost fictitious in nature that you could there could be a debate about an organ, your organ, or a part of you that you can't take home. You can't just regularly take it home. So if a body part is voluntarily discarded by its previous owner, how is that treated? they can just walk away from it, right? So you're here in the hair salon. You can either take it or leave it. Your tooth that you've lost, you can throw it away or you can keep it. If this is not an issue, what makes it an issue when it comes to the placenta? And why is it? Maybe because it's a biodegradable organ. Maybe that is the issue. The existence of possible benefits or detriments brought about by placentophagy is quite debated. And placentophagy is the consumption of human placentas. Why exactly would someone want to do it? The reasons vary. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. Now, what are some of the things that you can do with the placenta after birth? According to parents.com, if you're curious about things you can do with your placenta, typically, what happens with hospitals, as the information as we get it, is that it is discarded. There are some that say hospitals harvest placentas so that they can have stem cells, and then they sell stem cells at a premium. They use the stem cells in research for treating cancers, for brain surgery, for spinal surgery, for anything, for regenerative purposes. And so science benefits from having the afterbirth more than the individual who probably wants it. That is one argument. I'm not saying that is what is done. I'm saying that is an argument. And a total, it's pretty reasonable that hospitals would dispose of placentas. Because let's face it, they're in the business of discarding human waste. So whether it is a body part that is no good, whether it is a human body, yeah, dead people. So hospitals have a method by which they get rid of them. They pass them on to funeral homes and such. And if there is nobody to claim them, they have procedures in place. So all this happens. Now, some parents are keeping the placenta after birth for a variety of reasons. And some believe that eating the placenta offers a range of health benefits, while others want it for a variety of other meaningful uses, such as planting it with a tree or incorporating it into jewelry. Some people use it for art. Though not nearly as exciting as your actual newborn baby, the placenta is a pretty spectacular thing. The organ provides nourishment and oxygen to your growing child throughout pregnancy. The placenta is typically delivered within 5 to 30 minutes of childbirth. Sometimes it can take up to an hour. And if you want to keep yours, depending on where you live, which state you are in, which country you're in, you can. If you think you want to take your placenta home, what you want to do is talk to your doctor or your midwife ahead of delivery time. Because every hospital and birthing facility have their own policy. And they may need to do some additional prep work to release your placenta to you after it is delivered. If you decide to take that step and are looking for ideas how to get creative with your placenta, here are some things you can do. You ready? First on the list is placentophagy. Now, placentophagy, like we said, is the consumption of the human placenta. Some people choose to ingest their placenta after birth, and people usually either encapsulate it into pill form or add it to smoothies, but some people eat it raw or cooked. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are some people that are gagging right now at just the thought of what it is. This practice is actually becoming more popular, even as we speak. Celebrities like Hilary Duff, Kourtney Kardashian, and January Jones, they consume their placentas by way of taking pills after birth. So they took their baby's placenta, made it into pill form, and they took that. Animal parents and people in some tribal cultures also routinely eat their baby's placentas. If you might notice that if you have dogs and they breed, that you don't see a placenta after the birth. It gets cleaned up. Yeah, the dogs consume it. Now, if we are to learn from our animal cohabitants of Earth, then what makes consuming your baby's placenta such a disgusting, vile, and wrong thing? I'm just saying. Now, while there isn't any scientific proof that consuming your placenta offers any health benefits, some parents swear it does, and many moms report feeling a boost of energy after consuming their placenta, while others feel it helps them to keep an even keel through the postpartum hormonal ups and downs. This says Jennifer Mayer, certified placenta encapsulation specialist and owner of Brooklyn Placenta Services. And she goes on to say, others feel it helps with breast milk production. Now, I didn't even know there was a whole business that is set up that takes care of encapsulating the placenta. I guess there's a business for everything. Anecdotal evidence aside, there are numerous studies that refute the claims that there are any health benefits to eating your placenta. Plus, there are significant risks that are involved with eating the placenta. Mainly, it could be contaminated or spread illness. For example, a 2016 report from the CDC, the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, they document a case of a healthy baby who developed group B strep after his mother consumed her placenta and transmitted the virus by nursing. So what happened is she had the placenta. She didn't get sick, but she passed the bacteria on through the breast milk. And the baby developed the group B strep. I heard about that situation. And, well, I guess it can happen. Could have happened any other way. There are some people who choose to donate their placenta after birth. It is typically free to do so. And these nutrient-dense tissue can help with reconstructive procedures, the healing of wounds and burns, ocular procedures, spinal surgeries, and other medical needs. So let me ask this. When an individual donates their placenta for free, and, well, it's typically free for donation, right? So they go ahead and donate their placenta. When people turn around and use it for spinal surgeries, burns, ocular procedures, or any other medical procedure, how much do they charge for that? Now, they got the main thing that they needed for free. How much do they charge to provide the service with which this free product is used? So are they charging for the use of the product, or are they charging for their services, their skill sets? Placenta donation must be done through an accredited tissue bank. You'll need to get specific authorization. The process won't harm or impact your child in any way, shape, or form, because, you know, at this point, it's separate and apart from your child. If donation is your plan, go ahead and tell your healthcare provider in advance, as they may need to get special authorization or fill out paperwork ahead of time. You can donate other birth tissue as well, which includes the umbilical cord tissue. Well, the umbilical cord blood and tissue, the amniotic membrane, and amniotic fluid. So these can all be donated. Again, if it can be donated to be used in science or medicine, who benefits? I haven't seen that bit of information yet. And believe me, I have been looking. So if anybody out there has that kind of information, I'd like to get it. 773-789-STEW. 773-789-7839. Go ahead and share that information with me, please. And thanks. If you can't stomach the idea of guzzling your own placenta down with some frozen strawberries in a smoothie, or something like that, many encapsulators also offer the option of a body salve. Now, these concoctions purportedly help with C-section scars, perineal tears, and cracked nipples. So you can pretty much use it as an ointment kind of a deal. I guess it makes sense because it tends to be protein rich and has other nutrients. So I guess it could help with the healing process. And since stem cells tend to work in the regenerative area, it makes sense when you put all the pieces together. Whether you go with a delicate pendant, a bracelet, or tiny drop earrings, having your placenta made into jewelry will make for a beautiful and enduring reminder of your pregnancy. And of course, it'll be one heck of a conversational piece. The process with which to turn your placenta into jewelry, I'm not too sure about that, though. I didn't do any research on it, but it's one of the things that can be done. If you don't have a desire to swallow your placenta via pills, smoothies, or any other consumable way, But you feel it's too sacred to be disposed of as medical waste. One potential solution is planting your placenta in your yard. This practice symbolizes a baby's link to the earth in certain cultures. But some modern parents like the idea of planting their placenta alongside a tree in their yard that will grow with their baby. It's one of those visual reminders of how you were both once physically connected to one another. But the idea that there's this life growing in your yard. Now, if you move from this place, do you then take the tree with you? For the less blood-averse parents, you can get creative juices flowing, so to speak, by inking on a onesie or a toddler t-shirt with your placenta blood. And this is best done before your child is old enough to tell you that they don't want to wear a placenta-stained shirt, but it can be done. Or you can make it for yourself. That way, you know, you're the one wearing it. Crafty parents can also try making placenta prints to frame and hang in their home. Consider going with the popular Tree of Life design to honor the beginning of your baby's life. Yeah, people do art with the placenta. Instead of having your placenta end up in a landfill, some parents opt to take it home for burial. So they put it in the ground in their own yard, or they bury it in a garden so that it grows with the flowers, or it nourishes the flowers as they grow. And some families choose to have a simple ceremony when putting the placenta into the ground to honor its role in sustaining and nourishing their baby's life before birth. That's pretty cool. So these are some things that you can do, some other things you can do with your baby's placenta. Isn't the placenta fascinating? And the whole, everything around the idea of having a placenta, from whether or not it is yours to take home, to what it is that you can do with it. Now, it can be a little bit complicated to take your placenta home. Let me go ahead and emphasize that. It's not just as simple as saying, oh, yeah, I gave birth to my baby, I'm taking my baby home, and go ahead and put that placenta in a bag to go for me, please, or to go box. Thank you. No, it's a little bit more than that. And so you really have to make a decision early out whether or not you'll be taking your placenta along with your baby when you leave the hospital. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to look once more at, well, what is considered placenta wisdom rituals and traditions, according to healthformom.org. So we'll see what they have to say about it when we come back from the break. In the meantime, in between time, go ahead and call a friend. Tell a friend of your friends, friends of your enemies of your friends, and or an enemy or two. Tell them about this program. Healthy Love right here on the Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew. We'll be on for talking for about another half an hour or so. And then we get into musical therapy a little bit later on, yeah? Cool. So, we'll be right back after these messages.
Making great music is one thing, sharing it with the world, that's another. Let the professionals at Reggae Global Entertainment help you to another level. Specializing in artist management, booking, public relations and marketing, and promotion, Reggae Global Entertainment can help you with event planning, websites, photography, and video production, press releases, legal services, and graphic design. They can even help you with music production so you can get the sound that you want every time. Call Reggae Global Entertainment at 954-804-8199. That's 804-8199. Or visit them online at reggaeglobalentertainment.com.
when being in the moment is priceless, consider the ability to share that moment. If you can video it, you can broadcast it. And Pulse eMedia Group has the tools you need. Weddings, birthdays, funerals, graduations, church services, parties, seminars, you name it. Pulse eMedia Group can provide you with a secure medium controlled by you to broadcast your event. Contact us at www.pulseemediagroup.com for more information. Pulse eMedia Group, when being in the moment is priceless.
Yes, yes, yes. Sakara Mantino, I'm making no sense right now. You are locked in to DJ Kevin Stew on the night shift.
Music from Rachel David Lee, bringing us back from the break. A track called Life Is Good. Now, depending on a person's customs and beliefs, a placenta may hold significant symbolic and spiritual meaning. In some cases, the placenta is considered precious, sacred, and powerful, worth even more than gold. The placenta supplies oxygen and blood flow to your baby, cleansing it of unwanted toxin and boosting your baby's metabolism. The placenta nourishes and protects baby and contains hormones required for pregnancy and breastfeeding. It's common practice for many hospitals and healthcare facilities to dispose of the placenta as medical waste. However, many parents, doulas, nurses, and midwives honor the placenta and acknowledge its worth. Studies show that the placenta plays a tremendous role in certain ancient traditions, rituals, and holistic and alternative medicine. One of the most common customs is placenta burial rituals. Now, what we're going to do is take a little trip around the world via the placenta. So, how exactly we're going to do this is, imagine this. So, think of the place. If you know nothing about it, maybe we'll learn something about it. But check this out. In Bali, the placenta is known as Ariari and is considered a physical body of the child's guardian angel whose spirit stays with the child for life. The Balinese wrap the placenta in cloth, place it in a coconut, and bury it. In some cultures, burying the placenta connects the baby to the land and heritage. Among the Navajo and many Hawaiians, the placenta is placed in the ground to connect the child to his or her homeland and ancestors. Native Icelanders, they call the placenta Fylgia. That's Fylgia, which literally means guardian angel. In Hmong culture, the word for placenta means jacket. In Jamaican culture, jacket means jacket. It means a child is not yours, sir. That's what it means. The placenta is believed to be a spiritual jacket worn by the baby as they enter the world. Families in various cultures, in various Caribbean countries, bury their baby's placenta under a fruit tree to help ensure that a child will never go hungry and will always come home. Funny, I didn't know that was why we did it. And I say we, I mean people in the Caribbean. Among the African Igbo, the placenta is called our mother and connects the child to the spirits in the ground when it is buried. The Kikuyu in Kenya believe that both the placenta and the umbilical cord are a bond and a sacred attachment between mother and child. It is disposed in an uncultivated field and covered with grass and grains as a symbol of fertility. The Mayans also honor the sacred bond between the mother and her baby by burying the placenta under a special tree. This ritual is said to give protective powers over the child. In both Japanese and Chinese culture, the placenta burial is believed to bestow blessings or protection for the child's future. In cultures with postpartum rituals, location of placenta burial makes a difference. In Cambodia, the placenta is the globe of the origin of the soul, and it must be buried in a special location designed to protect the baby from bad spirits. In Malaysia, the placenta is considered a baby's other sibling. In Mexico, the placenta is viewed as its el compañero, or in English, companion. Placentas in Korea are given names depending upon their birth month before undergoing ritual burial. In Turkey, parents who want their child to be noble and honest may bury the placenta in the courtyard of a mosque. So, it's not everybody, it's not all cultures that want to consume the placenta. And whereas it's something that caught on, it started gaining popularity about in the 70s, the placentophagy. And how exactly it started catching on, I'm not too sure. I didn't bother to get into the details of that. But it caught on for some reason. There is the thought that the consumption of the placenta is beneficial to the mother. Well, if it is beneficial to the mother, how far-fetched could it be that it could be considered beneficial to the father also? But more so the mother, because it's coming from the mother. Now, there are some that say some body parts should not be consumed at all. Whether it is your own body part or the body part of an animal, some organs, some body parts should not be consumed. I leave it up to each individual to make their own decision, and hopefully it is an informed decision that they're making. I just wanted to touch on this tonight, the whole idea of what the placenta is. Because as far as we know, it's just this sack that the baby is born with and is discarded after birth. But it is a little bit more than that, just that. It is that organ that develops with pregnancy to sustain life. And if nothing else, I really believe it should be honored. It should be respected. It should be at least acknowledged and not just discarded as human waste. But of course, that's just my thought. And who am I to make that decision? I am not the one giving birth to the child. Whereas I can give my suggestion, I can't dictate how it should be taken. I can suggest to you that you look more into it for yourself. Those who are expectant mothers, are you interested in keeping your placenta? Are you interested in just giving it up, donating it to placenta and umbilical cord and umbilical cord blood, which are all said to be rich in protein and stem cells. And we all know the importance that is placed on stem cells in science, especially medical science. So if you have this being a source of stem cells for research, for medical development, for medical science, then should you, the mother, the owner of this organ, should you be allowed to benefit also? Everybody else benefits in the business of medicine. Why shouldn't you? As we get into an early musical therapy, this is Marcia G. Ball. The track is called Close to You. As we part company, I want to thank you and remind you. Yep. I did thank you though, didn't I? But I do want to remind you to look out for members of your community. Your community is not just the development that you live in, but it spreads far and wide. So those that you pass on the bus, the plane, the boat, or the train, whether you walk, ride, or drive, these are members of your community. Do something good for one of them today, because you never know who's going to do something good for you tomorrow. My name is Kevin Stew, so I like to do it to you, for you, and with you every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday right here at KevinStew.com. And affiliates, thank you to the affiliates. Much love. Truly appreciate love you. You mean everything to me. Yeah. I wish y'all a good morning and a good afternoon, a good day to you wherever you are in the world from right here in South Florida. I wish y'all a good night. Take care until we meet again. Be good. If you can't be good at it. I'm out of here. The curves of your hands, I see open your smile, innocence in your eyes. Greetings and salutations, one and all. You're invited to tune in to the Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew. It airs on Mondays with Community and Finance, Tuesdays with Healthy Love, and Wednesdays with Real Talk from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. Come spend some time interacting in the stew pot where we keep things bubbling and wind down in musical therapy. The Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew is on KevinStew.com, where you're encouraged to have acceptance through enlightenment.